possible now that you're here. Let us just pray. Heavenly Father, we're so glad that we can honestly say that Jesus is here, and now that He's here, all things are possible, and we know that that's not concerning You, Lord. We know that. You know that concerning Yourself, that You're the Creator, all things are possible. But this is that hour we believe, Lord, is possible. If it wasn't possible back there in the Garden of Eden, where man could stretch forth his hand and take of the tree of life and live forever, we believe that's possible now. That's the great step. It was held back from Him, and now that step is here, and we're not going to make it. Somebody is, oh God. We can say with the prophet, if we're not bride, there's a bride out there somewhere, and by the grace of God, we won't stand in her way. Help us to be serious and solemn tonight, Lord, to get rid of every care we thought, be fully crucified with Jesus Christ, so that we do not live, but He lives in the life we live in the flesh. You live by the faith of the Son of God Himself. We know, Lord, these aren't just high-sounding words. There's reality. They saw it in the days of Paul. We saw it in the days of William Branham. It's been through every age. There's somebody that's been able to be led by You, the dove leading the lamb. And we pray, Lord, that will be our lot, too. We're looking forward, Lord, shortly. If it's not going on right now, my God, for that sweet spirit coming into the church, the sick healed amongst us, and wonderful things happening. Not that we're looking for any greater things, but it's just the natural course taking place, giving the witness to the resurrection from amongst the dead. And so, Father, we just trust tonight now. We'll learn from Your word. We'll be blessed by it, O God. We'll build up in the most holy faith. We'll be different after foot washing and communion than we've been before, Lord, not from the ordinances, but from the life that's behind the ordinances, what it all means. We ask these mercies in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, it's certainly nice to see the different folk out tonight, to see that Peter and Diane made it. And I told Allison, well, they'll be here, and they're here. That's good. And I didn't know Brother Green and Sister Green would make it. I know he's had a real battle, but the battle is the Lord's. That's not just a matter of platitude. That's a fact. The battle is the Lord's. I wish we could all realize that. It would do us so much good to just lay all our burdens upon Him. And as Brother Branham said, may the people never forget that God made an atonement for sickness. And remember, the angel of the Lord brought told him to take a gift of healing to the world. And healing is very, very important. He said the minister of God has a right to a healthy body. I could say amen and amen. But, you know, everybody's a minister of the Lord. And so that doesn't let anybody out that's sitting down there, because I'm standing up here, not for 1 minute. And we're just also glad to haven't seen some for a long time. I haven't seen Mitch and Rose for a while, and also I see Oscar and Kathy, and that's great to see the different ones, and wish us all more, too. I mean, I'm certainly not against seeing more people, whether I know them or not, or they know me. They can get to know me. The big thing is to get to know the Lord. Glad to see Joe got back, and every once in a while we thought of Him, prayed for you. I don't say it was too often, but it was enough, wasn't it? I'm going to stand up here and pretend I did something and show I didn't do. More likely heap a lot of problems on you now that you're back. But you're able to take care of those things. Now, we've been into the little sermon Brother Branham preached in Beaumont back in 64, God Identified by His Characteristics. And in this message, Brother Branham, first of all, points out that there is nothing that is not identified by its characteristics. And those characteristics may be in the description of the thing, the actions, if any, like, you know, you don't see rocks unless they roll around to do anything special, or reactions as well as actions, or their fiber, which is actually how they're constituted and made. For instance, you know, there's soft wood and hard wood, there's hard coal and there's soft coal, and there's different types of mineral steel. So, in his message, Brother Branham says here that everything can be detected or identified by its characteristics. And that's infallibly so, because God made everything to run in continuity. And I don't know what your biologists and your criminal theologists are going to do with that, who believe in evolution, because you don't see any mutations. Even Joseph Sabin, who was taught so much of evolution in school, he accepted it until one day as he got older, he smartened up and said, hey, where's the mutations? And there's no change. The characteristics positively identify. And even the unseen God, who is spirit, can be exactly
exactly identified by his characteristics, which, of course, are supernatural. Now, you know, many characteristics of substances can be so close. Brother Brown just gave an offhand illustration of two birds flying, and I even forget what they were now at this point, a sapsucker, I guess he said one was, and one was a jaybird or something. And he said, you'll notice one goes in more in a straight line, the other goes flapping up and down. Well, it's the same thing, the magpie flaps up and down, the crow goes more straight, but they're not much looking alike. But the other two birds do look alike. Now, if you could take two substances that might be absolutely identical to the naked eye, and then you might put them under a microscope, but when you use the device which can pick up the vibrations, you may find the vibrations are different. Positively identifying and saying, well, look, this has got to be this because there's the identification. Now, you apply that to God, and that seems as though, hey, we're kind of getting out of the realm of reality here, because after all, God's a spirit, and no man can see God and live, no man can see spirit. So what about God? Well, the fact of the matter is that God can be identified unmistakably by his characteristics, and of course they are supernatural. Now, the first chapter of the Bible gives us the key to this, which is his never-failing and never-changing characteristic of identification. And all you got to do is read it and say, God said, let there be light, there was light. God creating. See? Then people were put on the earth later on after creation, and of course, seeing all these things, they knew there was somebody. How did all these things get here? If Adam had not been talked to by God, let's just say God put Adam in Garden of Eden, plunked him down there, and Adam began looking around and said, hey, look at this, look at this, look at this. And every animal's come up and licked his hand, and he said, why, this is great. And he said, now, just a minute. I wasn't here 5 minutes ago. I know anything about what's going on here. I'm just stretching it because there could have been something in the knowledge back there, you know, that we were not privy to. But we don't have to. But you'd know right away that God actually identifies himself by something which he has to do, because he is not sensate to us. You might think you feel him, but you could be feeling something else, you know. And but there is a way he can be identified. He's got to be. So now we see what he does from Genesis. He brings himself into manifestation by what he does. In other words, he brings something out there that's in the realm of the sensate, and you can see it, and you can say from that, that's God. Now look at now. That sounds like an oversimplification, but believe me, it's not. You can do what you want with it, but that's the way it is. Now, he brings himself into manifestation by what he does. And what he does is unceasingly chained to Deuteronomy 18. Now, what he does is unceasingly changed. A chain, C-H-A-I-N-E. It chained to Deuteronomy chapter 18, which we'll read here. The Lord thy God will raise up a prophet unto thee from amidst of thee, that's verse 15, of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him you shall hearken. Now, right off the bat, it says the Lord is going to raise up a prophet. So the manifestation of God to the people, whatever he manifests, whatever he says, wherever he brings himself into view, there's going to be a prophet. Number one prophet. Led Bloon. Well, why, says Caiaphas, won't he roll down the golden stairs and the red carpet and come and say, hello, great Caiaphas. Come and honor our great colleges, our great institutions. Some man of education, some great pedigree. You know? No, come on now. Come on, let's stick with the Bible, brother, sister. You look, I'm going to tell you something. Let's go to hell believing God. We're doing our best. If we got to go to hell believing God, at least we got a better chance of getting exterminated quicker. At least we got a better chance of being foolish virgin. But if you go all the way, you are wise virgin. Because you see, right here, Israel turned this down flat. They believed in God when Moses went up in the mountain. They believed in God when Moses came down from the mountain. But they didn't believe Moses. Amen. Then they didn't believe God. Amen. Now, look at that's the scripture. I'm going to raise up a prophet in the midst of thee. From the midst of thee. Come right up from among you. Going to be part of you. Going to be human. Of the brethren. Like unto me, unto him ye shall hearken. according to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, Let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. And the Lord said unto me, They have well spoken that which they have spoken. Sealed, finished, right. That's it. They got their bargain. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren like unto thee, and I will put my words in his mouth. Now, you're going to hear from God, how? By a prophet. Well, no, now, Lord, look, now, hold it. I happen to know that prophet. And I don't think he's got a thing for me. Well, naturally not. He's got nothing for you. You don't want it. Now, look, come on, let's go over this again. I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. Now, listen. That prophet's in a pretty rough spot. Because he's going to come with the word of God. The word of God's going to be in his mouth, not in his head, but in his mouth. And he's going to have a peculiar gift. And that is, he'll be able to say exactly what God told him to say. He'll be able to tell exactly what God showed him, and nobody else can do it. Now, how are you going to feel like when they make a fool out of you? Now, come on. Now, let's get right down where the nitty-gritty is. They made a fool out of every prophet. They sawed Isaiah to pieces. Jeremiah had to lie there. One had to marry a prostitute. Oh, boy, that's not a slap in the face. Gee. The poor prophet. Yet in Pentecost, everybody wants to be a prophet. Forget it. P-R-O-F-I-T. There's a whole lot there in P-R-O-P-H-E-T. Make a little money and live a little better. But if you think a prophet's life is good, here's this man right here. A virgin's going to bear a child. Wasn't explained, but Jesus comes to eat my flesh, drink my blood. We'll talk about that later, maybe. That prophet's in a tough place. How are you going to come and say, I've got the word of the Lord for you, and you haven't got the word of the Lord, but I have got the word of the Lord. Shut up and sit down. Amen. I wouldn't want to be a prophet for nothing. The prophet warned me even his little tiny gift of teaching I got, they wouldn't want it. So who'd want my prophecies? Oh, thank God for no prophecies. Thank God I'm no prophet. Bad enough to try to do what I'm doing. I'm not doing that too well. I'll raise up a prophet amongst the brethren, put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them. All the, now, notice, he's got an audience already hand-picked by God. He's going to speak to them. And they're supposed to listen to him. And that's God bringing himself into manifestation, whether you want to believe it or not. He said, well, I want to see something, Brother Bill. Well, you'll be able to see plenty. He does that too. But you've got to see what he wants you to see. Or you're a wicked and adulterous generation. Not just wicked, adulterous. It's all about rotten to the core. And it'll come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak, I will require it of him. When the Lord descends with a shout, who's going to talk for him? Better calm down and not as well as they can. I'm going to play out of here in a hurry. Yet I'm a whole lot better than some of you guys think I am then. I had a couple of good days, so be better be careful here. I'd be just mean as I always was, and I can't afford to be mean. I ask the Lord to knock me down again. But the prophet shall presume to speak a word in my name which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. Other gods? Three of them, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. You're idolaters, you're in witchcraft. Well, come on. Hard words. I'm not responsible for my words. I'm quoting the prophet, whether you know it or not. I can't tell you the taste, but I can tell you what he said. Now, if thou shalt say in thine heart, and he doesn't condemn him, it must mean somebody else could be turned loose to do something pretty wonderful, to catch their eye, to catch their attention, and say, this is the power of God. This is God speaking. This is the way of God. Well, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not nor come to pass, That is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. But the prophet spoke it presumptuously. Thou shalt not be afraid of him. Now, it tells you right there, that man's going to say something. And if it demands a creative act, that creation will appear. Well, see, I just can't believe that, Brother Bill. Then you better rip the first four books out of your Bible, or five books out of your Bible, because Moses, the creator of God, was in Moses. He created by the word of God in him. I didn't see William Branham create squirrels. I don't have to. Well, you can stand there and see a man wrap a cord around him three times, and you watch him blink, and suddenly that cord is by his feet. You don't need to look at any creation. You done saw something uncreated and recreated. I saw what resurrection is. Hallelujah. Who worries about creation? I don't worry about a creation. I'm already here.
Amen.
Get me in the new creation.
Amen.
So who cares? They're not going to fool with their nonsense. Now, he's unceasingly chained to the prophet. See, I want to hear from God. I want to see from God. You better, there's got to be a prophet on the scene. And that goes over just like a lead balloon. Now, never forget, Jesus the Christ himself was a prophet. Not just a prophet, the prophet. Not just the prophet, but the God prophet. Now, that was the earmarks of Jesus the Great One. To come on the scene and say a thing and it come to pass. Then you listen to that man. Nicodemus came one day and he said, we know thy rabbi, we know your teacher sent from God, because no man can do the things thou doest except God be with him. That man understood that Jesus was just like Moses. He was within a hair breadth of catching on. He did catch on. Nicodemus got born again. Wonderful. Now, Jesus Christ himself was the God prophet. Now watch how he was to be accepted as Messiah prophet, and in some cases he was accepted, wherein others denied and even blasphemed him. So we go to page 14 and we start reading. This is to catch up everybody and wind this message up if we can. Beginning of paragraph 93, Simon went one day to hear him, and Simon maybe went with Andrew. Andrew had been attending all along, but Simon, when he came into the presence. Now listen, he asked closing. When he came into the presence of Jesus, Jesus looked at him and said, your name is Simon, you're the son of Jonas. See, the characteristic of what was promised was identified in him. You say, that? Yeah, that. Yeah, that. A stumbling block. A curve. Something too simple, too easy. See? God, now listen, here's what happened. God identified the seed. The seed was waiting to be identified. And therefore believed. How many times did you say, oh, I wish I could really know. I wish I could really know. You thought you couldn't know. Well, I don't know that that's exactly right. Where do I find that one? All right, that's the genuine identification of God in any hour is his identification. That's what it is. The scriptures is promise made identified by the characteristic of the promise, which is God, and God is the Word. And the characteristic of that promise being identified, that makes the believer. Jesus said, so that settled it, amen. You want to be a believer? Too simple. Give me some great thing to do. Make me matchless. You're already matchless. Nobody can match you. Forget it. The one to match with is Jesus Christ. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Find rest unto your souls. All right. See, the characteristic of what was promised was identified in him. God at the tent door, see? Jesus came and did the same thing. We'll get into that in a little while. That man could not sign his name. The Bible said he's both ignorant and unlearned. But it was such an identification that he quickly renounced all of his unbelief, and he said, that's the Messiah we look for. All right, he believed it. God identified and the seed identified, and both happy.
Amen.
But a whole bunch of them gnashing your teeth and grumping and grumbling. They couldn't take it. Too simple. Okay. There was one standing there by the name of Philip who ran around the city, the hill, the country, 15 miles around. About. And got a friend, come back next day by the name of Nathanael, found him under a tree praying. He said, come see where we found Jesus of Nazareth, son of Joseph. Oh, he said, now, could there any be good thing come out of Nazareth out of that bunch of low-class people down there? He said, well, come on, see. That's the best remark a man can make. Don't stay over and criticize. Come and find out. Search the Scripture. Come and see. It's the same today. The same thing goes on today, but they say familiar spirit. Yeah. Well, I trust my spirit and his spirit are very familiar. They've got together. I had no trouble at all when I saw Brother Bram. I said, that's God. Messed me up really entirely. I'd be happily backslidden. Down to the hog trough. But crying two solid hours, and it was all over. I thought, well, that's terrible to get mixed up with this, but there's no way out. On the road around, they walked around talking about what had been taking place, how he told them about Simon being made known by him, that Simon being made known by Jesus, and his own, Simon's father, and so on. Then when he come into the line, now notice how he identifies Christ's ministry as his ministry, calls it a line. Then when he come into the line, might have been a prayer line, might have been out in the audience, how he picked him out and discernment, I don't know. But wherever he come, and Jesus laid eyes on him, the first time he said, behold, in Israel, in whom there's no guile. Now that was an example Brother Branham was giving in Christ's ministry of his own ministry. Rennie said he had more success with his ministry in my life than he had in his own. Well, you say that prophet's got to be a big mouth. Certainly God's got a big mouth. Prophet's got a big mouth. And the prophet can back up what he says because God's right behind the prophet's mouth. I'm sure glad the Lord descended with the show. And as the Greek says, it is not the voice of the one that descended. I was only a voice. The one that stood there. He said, you might have thought of talking about myself, seeing I'm packing this message. I got more, no more to do with it than nothing. I was just one standing by when he appeared. That's a real prophet. That's prophet talk. That's real prophet talk.
Amen. Praise God.
That's a prophet with a profit. Because what shall a prophet a man if he loses his home, if he loses his soul by not listening to the prophet? That's not coining a phrase. That's throwing Scripture together, and I'm perfectly able to do it. Behold, in this right in whom there's no guile. What was he doing? Hebrews 4 and 12, reading the man's heart. Like my sister read Brother Brown's handwriting. Absolutely no deceit. She didn't say that about mine. She said, ah, there it is again, the voice of Esau in the hand of Jacob. I mean, the voice of Jacob in the hand of Esau. He said, Rabbi, when did you ever know me? He said, before Philip called you, when you were under the tree, I saw you. That was the identification of the characteristic of the anointed God. In other words, a vision. Oh, we got ESP. We got familiar spirits. We got mind reading. We got these machines. That's great. We got God. He said, then why doesn't God do something different? Because God doesn't change. If anybody's going to change, you're going to change. I was a nice one day. I did, but it was kind of, I don't know. I'm not going to blame my wife. I don't know what even happened. But I said, look, one of us is going to change. It ain't going to be me. I was boss. That was it.
Praise God.
Now, God says the same thing. He said, one of us is going to change. It ain't going to be me. And you know what this man said? Rabbi, you are the Son of God. He said, could that fella get that worked up and say, you are the Son of God from that? Yes, that. Yes, that.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Which some people miss or dismiss and call a familiar spirit. Rabbi, you're the Son of God. What was it? His characteristics identified him. He knew by the Scripture that was that anointed man, God anointed in flesh. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. He said, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. He said, because I said that you believe me, you'll see greater things than this yet. Sow the seed. Let's pass on to page 17. Now, if you got that. You don't need air in here, but you're open that window, I guess. Or maybe I'm just hot unduly because I'm naturally cold-blooded. I kind of suspect myself, and I can't suspect you, but I can perspire. Kind of bothers me at times. All right, paragraph 125 to 123. Then Peter said those memorable, and Brother Branham calls them memorial words, and it is a great memorial in words to Jesus Christ. Those memorable words, Lord, where could we go? We're persuaded you, we know that you are the identified fountain of life. You have the word in it only. We are persuaded. This little woman standing there, he said, bring me a drink. She said, it's not customary. We got some segregation here. We don't have any such thing here. He let her know right quick there's no difference between the Jew or whatever it was. He was God. He said, go get your husband. Come here. And she said, I don't have a husband. He said, you've told the truth. You've had five, and you're living with one now that's not yours. See, now, there again, reading the heart. Now, watch that woman. Something happened. That little predestinated seed down in her heart. When he said that to those Pharisees, look at them. They just blacked out what they professed. You see, they went back on the very thing they professed. They professed to be Christians. Now, that would stumble some people. Maybe your air conditioner on it or something, but you know you got windows coming through. I don't know how you got it fixed up. It's pretty hot up here for me. Now, they professed to be Christians. Now, people would say, now, look at those were not Christians. They were too, because Christos should always be translated Messiah, because Christ is Messiah in the Greek. So they had a messianic prophecy for them. And they would be messianic believers. And what did? They crucified the very one they said they believed in. All right. They professed to be Christians. They professed to be followers. They professed to love him. But when the truth came, it blacked them out. Certainly it does. The truth always blacks out. I don't care if the blood does stand there. The blood on the mercy seat. What if the blood is on the mercy seat if you turn down the light? All the argument pro and con concerning blood are on the mercy seat or off the mercy seat. The whole thing boils down to one thing. Do you believe the word of God? If you don't believe the word of God, the blood cannot avail.
Amen.
Because if you believe the word of God, you're full of the Holy Ghost. You're identified seed. All right. But when the truth came, it blacked them out. But when this came, it brought to light. It took the blackness out and made it all white. He's talking about that prostitute. She said, sir, I perceive you are a prophet. Now we haven't had one for 400 years, see? I perceive you're a prophet. Now we know when Messiah cometh, his identification will be that kind of a characteristic. He'll tell us these things. And here's this little woman speaking right up out of her heart. What made her different? She was a seed. He said, I am he that speaks with you, to you. And upon that she dropped the water pot, went to the city and said, come see a man who told me all things I've done. Isn't this the very characteristic of the anointed Messiah, which is the word who knows the thoughts that's in the heart? Isn't this the Messiah? Oh, my. Certainly was the Messiah. See? You know, the simple instant recognition. The witness of the Spirit of Truth. Not just Spirit, but the Spirit of Truth. People come into Brother Branham's meeting and they recognize the Spirit. And they love it because it proved evolution wrong. It proved that God could come into a supernatural manifestation through healings and miracles and signs, and even by a photograph. Oh, yes, my. It was wonderful to acknowledge the Spirit. But they turned down flat the Spirit of Truth. Now, there's a big difference. A mighty big difference. You can be going to a nice girl, and she says, you're a wonderful boyfriend. Well, how about marrying me? Hogwash. Get out of my sight. Nice boyfriend, but you're sure not a husband. All right, you can do the same thing with the Spirit of God. Absolutely disbelieve him. Make him a liar. Make him Beelzebub. Absolutely. And be absolutely anointed. So you see where this thing is going. All right. Let's go to page 18, 134. It was on page 18, 134 already. But he didn't get down to that part. Look, the woman had with the blood issue. That's another example. He was identified to her by his characteristic that he was the Messiah. The woman with the blood issue identified him, the Word. Hebrews 4:12. The Word of God is more powerful than a sharp two-edged sword. Discerns the thoughts and intents of the heart. How many knows that? In the mind. That's what the Word is. You believe he was the Word? Do you believe he's the same yesterday, today, and forever? That settles it. If you believe that. Now there you are. He said, if you understand the promise for the hour, and God identifies himself in simplicity, you say, that's it, you're a believer. Now then, it's settled. The amen's put to it, because every time you see it, that's right. You get more and more confirmed, even though you don't need to see it any more than once. That's God in simplicity. Notice that little woman. She said, if I can just touch him, I don't care how much they say about him, I believe that he's just what he said he was. If I can touch him, I'll be made well. What about when Brother Branham said on more than one occasion, if you only knew who I was, you'd all be healed. I missed that down in Florida. My wife caught it. She said, it's on the tape down here. We went through all the tapes and couldn't find the tape. One day we played the tape, was on the tape. You only know who I was, you'd all be healed. Oh, brother.
Hallelujah.
He said, that was in the first person. I don't care if it was the first person or the second person. It was the person who'd have to do the healing.
Amen.
And you'd have to recognize that prophet as a reflector of the very word of Almighty God. The word of God made flesh for the hour. Well, people don't like that, but I don't care what they like.
Amen.
I'm willing to go just as far as I'm supposed to go. Look at here. If you're going to get hung, you might as well use 20 feet of rope as just one. Stand with, in other words, stand with the whole scriptures. Everything he said, just stick with it. As it rolls it off, just believe him. See? Now, it is God speaking in the prophet. That's what the Bible says. God spake to the fathers in the prophets. The only way he can do it. Absolutely irrevocably chained to a prophet. People say, well, I can find on my own. That's true. You can find on your own many things. That is true. But when it comes to the word of the hour, or the word, there is no way outside of a prophet.
Amen.
But people say, well, you see, the Bible's already written. Don't need any more prophets. And what was Paul? What about Hebrews 12? Where God's got to speak one more time from heaven, and everything falls down. Who's going to open the seals?
Right.
Try a theological can opener and see what happens. Come up with a nest of angleworms. A bulging can of tomatoes will spit in your face. Eat it and you'll die.
Yeah.
Full of botulism. Couldn't take a prophet.
Yeah.
Oh my, the word of God's plumb full of it. We went through the rapture tape. You know that. Get those tapes when I read you out of 1st and 2nd Peter. Took the two books for you. All right. He's just what he said he was. If I can touch him, I'll be made well. She slipped through and touched him, went back in the audience, and Jesus stopped and said, who touched me? And Peter tried to make him out like he was a neurotic. How many times, Brother Branham, say he was a neurotic? Boy, this whole sermon is pleading for Brother Branham's own ministry that it's right, listen to it, and get somewhere. How clearly could the man present himself and do his best for people? But they weren't about to listen. And Jesus stopped and said, who touched me? So Peter tried to make him an erotic. Why, everybody, don't say things like that. Why, they won't know what to think about you. A man of your status, and then say, who touched me? Everybody is touching you. And he said, everybody touched you. Well, let's just stop there for a second. I'm going to hit page 23 for a minute down the prayer line. And let's just see this operate out here. Paragraph 165. Now Brother Brown says, the Holy Spirit identify himself in the name of Jesus Christ. He's making that prayer. Now, I've got no idea what you're here for. You're just like a nice-looking motherly-like woman standing there. That's all I know about you. But the Holy Spirit can reveal what you're here for, what your trouble is, or something. You'll know whether it's the truth or not. Now, what it is you want prayer for is something like the muscle in your face. It's neurology. It's neurology is what he meant to say. Like in your face. Now, if that's right, raise your hand. Do you believe? Now, you might say he guessed that. Now, she's a fine person, too. Now, Miss, look this way. Or Mrs. Look this way, minister sister. I don't know what he told you, but whatever it was true. How about that? You're a witness of that now, aren't you? Sister says, that's right. That's right. 20 years of it. Mine. You believe that God will heal you for that? Now, you know it's his presence. There's something here that knows you. Something like Jesus said to the woman. He knew her trouble now, and he knew where her trouble was. He knew where her trouble was. He just repeats himself. So there you see what's happening. She reaches through with the touch. All right? I'll get down to 139 here. But I perceive I've gotten weak. Virtue has gone from me. Knew something had happened. Now look. Look what comes. The next great shock. He looked around till he found her. And he told her her condition. And her faith had saved her. He was identified as the Word of God, knowing the secrets of the heart. Oh my, the Word discerns the body, discerns the heart. Now what Brother Branham is saying here, look at my own ministry. I've done that many times. He'd stop and look around, say, ah, there it is over there. That woman was praying. Her name was so-and-so. Praying for her husband, her child, and so on, you see. Now, remember, Brother Branham had two signs. A sign in his hand, first of all. Then he could read the heart. And the sign in the hand was the fooler. Because he'd look at his hand and say, oh, you have cancer. Well, fine. Where is it? Hand doesn't tell him anything. Something inside tells him. So why did he need what was in his hand? Nothing. I spotted that right away. I'm not smart. I fell for like everybody else did, and, you know, look for this and look for that, and I wasn't that smart. My only came with the question, why did he need that here if something had to tell him where it was? Why can't the thing that told him where it was tell him what it was in the first place? Somebody say to me, you lost your gumboots. Ha! I lost my gumboots. Tell me where they are. I mean, you can tell me where they are. You can tell me what I lost. So you see, it was a sign to fool the people. Everybody began smelling devils and seeing devils and hearing this and that and the other thing, and they got way out there in the, well, they got and talked about left field here out of the ballpark. The voice of the sign. All right? Now, these illustrations which I have read from this sermon, which Brother Branham gave, are all based on the time Elohim stood at the tent door with Abraham. We go back to page 12. Paragraph 78. Now notice elect was coming on, sitting outside up there, here Abraham and his group. And when this man that stayed with Abraham, watch him, he displayed the characteristic of God, for he said, where is Sarah? Her name was Sarai the day before, but now Sarah, S-A-R-A-H, said, Abraham, not Abram, Abraham, where is thy wife Sarah? He said, she's in the tent behind you. I'm going to visit you. Then Abraham listened to that speech. I'm going to visit you according to the time of life. And Sarah laughed as it was I perceived herself, and she said, me old and my Lord old, shall we have pleasure again like young men and women, as far as human relationship, perhaps been gone many years, me? And she laughed. But the man looking at Abraham, Sarah in the tent behind him, said, why did Sarah laugh saying these at these things? How can these things be? He identified himself. And Abraham called him Elohim. Now, any of you Bible readers know that Elohim, God, the all-sufficient one, see, identified in a human body that was eating meat of a calf. Brother Branham, like hot Mexican food. Well, if God had appetite for a veal sandwich, he could have appetite for Mexican food. I'm not saying that exactly facetiously. I'm wanting to know relationship. Because Messiah was a prophet. First and foremost, he was a prophet. He was only the Lamb potentially, the Redeemer potentially. Number one, he was a prophet. Prophets don't die for people's sins ordinarily. They just get bumped off by the people with the sins. Because their sins are called out. But they didn't know when they were killing this one. They were shedding the blood that would, the life would return back upon the believer and bringing redemption. For the corn of wheat must fall on the ground and die. Elohim identified the characteristics of God. And Abraham called him God. What? He was identified Elohim. Now, notice, what Brother Branham was doing is what everybody misses. In the Word of God, it says, as it was in the days of Sodom, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. And everybody, therefore, then runs and talks about the evil of Sodom, which was homosexuality. But Brother Branham set the record straight. He said, I could not preach his coming based on one facet alone, which is immorality or a Sodomite condition. Nor could he. The other condition had to be there, which they left out, which was the positive condition where God met face to face with Abraham.
Hallelujah.
See? they didn't want that. Now, the church and the bride, their sign of Sodom, I'm talking of true church, true bride, their sign of Sodom is God manifest in human flesh with the word of the hour.
Amen.
Prophet with the word. All right. Let's go back to page 9. See, I've got to go back to get this. Paragraph 62. Now Jesus said, if I do not the works of my Father, or other words, if I don't have the characteristics of my Father, don't believe it. They identify my character, who I am. If you can't believe me, then believe the identification that God has given. Now remember, identification goes ahead of word. He's got to do something which attracts your attention, and then you believe what he says. Jesus both began to do and to teach. And that's been paraphrased by the nice people, and I'm not against nice people, who simply say, see, my brother, my sister, you've got to live a life before you can tell anybody the truth of God. That is true. But that's not what that scripture's talking about. I'm sorry. That's a little illustration. That's an application. Jesus began to do before he began to teach because he was a prophet. He had to prove by his works that he spoke for God and that God spoke through him. And when he was able to do that, then the people were able to listen. And they should have listened. But like in the days of Moses, when Moses went up the mountain, they believed God. When they came down the mountain, they still believed God, but they didn't believe Moses. These people still believe in God. They still believe in God. You can't chop them up in three pieces either and make them idolaters. They didn't understand the atonement. But this funny thing, they knew about the prophets. All right, we were reading 62. Now, if my character doesn't identify my position, then don't believe my claims. In other words, if I can't do what's supposed to be done by me, then don't believe what I'm saying to you. See, do you get it tonight? How many understand? Raise your hand, see. If my character, that's a perfectly good word, you say, why use characteristic? Because character is made up of characteristics.
Amen.
Precisely. Go to your dictionary. So I did my homework. Don't come before these smart, educated people sitting in front of you while they're doing some homework. If my character doesn't identify my position, then don't believe my claims. See? You get it tonight. How many understands and raise your hand? If my character does not identify who I claim to be, said Jesus, then you, if you can't believe me, why just believe the identification of the character that I am. In other words, you say, I don't know that he's the Messiah, but I sure know what's going on is true. That's got to be God. Somebody come along and say, well, that's the devil. Well, I tell you, that person sure mixed up. Now, we go to page 10. Reading at 68. Today, Luther said, when you believe, you got it. Methodist said, when you shout, you got it. The Pentecostal said, when you spoke in tongues, you had it. We find that all wrong. Some said the fruit of the Spirit's got it. That's wrong. The only evidence is when it's the vindication, when God himself identifies himself in the promised word of the hour, there it is. That'd take a prophet. That'd take a prophet. That's what Brother Branham said. Luther potentially had the Holy Ghost. That's the Lutherans. They had their baptism, but they didn't have the Holy Ghost. Now, next verse. Who had any more fruit of the Spirit than the kind old priest, circumcised the children, blessed them and everything else? And here this guy, Jesus, was come around, kicked over their sacrifice blocks, looked upon them with anger, beat them, run them out. No identification, no nothing. The Scripture is his identification. He had no fellowship card, belonged to no organization. But God spoke of him. That was his identification. Sure, God spoke of him and he did what he's supposed to do. He was a prophet, but it was too tame. You know why it was too tame? Because he was too wild. He didn't agree with him. The pussycat stroked the fur right nice. Like that, they spit at you and claw your hands. Good old pussycats. Never trust a cat. Some people got cat religion. We shouldn't have. All right, that's the genuine identification of God in any hour is his identification. That's what it is. The Scriptures has promised, been made identified by the characteristic of the promise, which is God, and God is the Word. And the characteristic of the promise being identified, or rather the characteristic of that promise being identified, that makes the believer. Jesus said so. That settled it. Amen. Now, you're sitting here tonight and me standing here know if we're believers or not. See, well, just a minute, nothing. See, I believe the blood was shed, so do I. Got no problem there. See, I believe the Holy Ghost came, no problem there. What do you believe about now? What's this phenomenon that's on the earth? Now, either you got to go one of two ways, one of three ways, actually. It's number one, it's got to be God, or it's got to be devil, or it's got to be a supernatural phenomenon that takes place once every 2,000 years. Now you're into Spiritism, Ascended Masters. Now it comes to us, this brings us, of course, to Matthew, the 12th chapter, where Brother Branham categorically said that Jesus was obligated to appear in the Spirit, in the form of the Holy Ghost, and do for the Gentiles, identifying himself what he did to Israel when he was there in the flesh. All right? So now we go to page 19 to where we were at in this book, and there's 3/4 hours gone by now, so time just flies. 140. Now just a moment is closing. Now as in Hebrews 13:8, it is true. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do you believe that? Now, I'm admitting a lot here that I should say. Then his character will identify him now in this present time. That's his characteristic, see? Whatever he did. If he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, like he was then. In other words, what he did in the form of a man, a theophany, back at the tent door, in the plains up there with Abraham, just before Sodom burned, doing the same thing identifying in the days of his flesh, he'll do it right now again through a prophet, because he was a prophet back there. Now that's got to be your satisfaction, because he can't change. Now people say, I believe God doesn't change, but that's not really the essence of he doesn't change. See how they wiggle around it? Well, let's see, let him wiggle out of this one. I sure enjoyed this scripture when I found it. I've used it ever since. I can even turn right to it, and that's something Very unusual for this fellow here. All right, the third chapter of Ecclesiastes. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it, for God doeth it, that men should fear before him. In other words, unmistakably doing some certain thing before the people, say, that's God. That which hath been is now. What he did as Elohim, he did as Emmanuel. And that which is to be hath already been. So whatever's going to come is going to blueprint exactly number one step, number two step, or number three step.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Elohim, Emmanuel, Jehovah. You're back to Elohim.
Amen.
And what's the name of Elohim? Jesus. So just call him Jesus.
Amen.
See? And God requires that which is past. Now what's he talking about? He's talking about himself. And he's talking that he requires of you and me what he's already done in the past so that you and I will know this is it. What makes one person sit there and cry over this simple thing, the next person laugh and walk around and get out? One person glorify God, the next one blaspheme him. That's the way it's supposed to be. That's the way it is. All right. Like those who came from Emmaus. As I say this, Jesus had been crucified. All of them were sad. They were in the... said they was in the grave. Now they said, I think he means that they said he was in the grave. Somebody come and stole him. One day he walked out of some bushes and walked along with him. He went over to Emmaus. He said, why are you so sad? They said, well, you must be just a stranger here. When he got him inside, he did something like he did before his crucifixion. It was his characteristic way of doing it. The characteristic way of doing it. They quickly recognized by that characteristic that was the same Jesus that had been crucified. Now, that's after his resurrection. That didn't change him one bit. He had merely gone through a phase, which was the phase of redemption. Now he's in the priesthood. But now he's got to appear to the Gentiles, as it was in the days of Sodom. The appearing of the Son of Man. All right. God had raised him up from the dead. And today his characteristic is the same as it was then. And the returning of the days of Sodom, as Jesus prophesied, the same thing is to take place when the Son of Man is being revealed to the people. Now, that's wonderful. But more offices than that came into view. It's identification of his characteristics. Hebrews 4:14-15. He is now a high priest that can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, just like he was then, the woman received that touched him. His garment. Do you believe that? Our infirmities touch him. Certainly they do. Well, if it would touch him, how would he act if he's the same yesterday, today, and forever? His characteristic would be the same. Then he'd act like he did when that woman touched his garment. Do you believe that? He ever lives. He ever lives. And his characteristics still identify him today as he was then. Do you believe it with all your heart? God identified by his characteristics identify him. Now, Brother Branham said, a true healing revival has to have a message. And you'd never get a healing revival any truer than Brother Branham's because it was an exact replica of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe, as Brother Branham said, every prophet plays a role, a part of a role in this Bible. I believe Brother Branham was ordained to play the role of the Son of Man, though he himself was not the Son of Man. He had the role of it.
Amen.
Because they said, Brother Branham, somebody said, you're the Son of Man. We thought that the pillar of fire was the Son of Man. He said, I am not the Son of Man. The pillar of fire is not he. It's in the form of the Holy Spirit. And then he said in the harvest time, he said, the Son of Man revealed. The Son of Man is the Word living itself again amongst the people. In other words, the manifestation of what was in the creative mind of Almighty God coming right here, a prophet saying it coming to pass. God identified himself. And if God identified himself, brother, sister, we know God. Because look at. Here, let's say there's something out here that's identified. What is it? Torrey Peterson, the great ornithologist. That what he's ornithologist? A bird lover or something? Don't blink your eyes, Joe. You're a smarter man than I am. We get Greg. He's an agronomist. That right, ornithologist? You're an ornithologist, a bird watcher. Yeah, bird lover. He was out here in Grand Canyon or somewhere, and a fellow, fellow out there in the park area, this Peterson walked up to. And, of course, he didn't know Peterson. And Peterson said, "Hey, there's a tremendous bird out here. I never seen before." And we said, "My, what a bird!" And described it. And the fellow said, "Well," he said, "I can't tell you, but," he said, "we got a book inside by Torrey Peterson, and he'll identify it." He said, "No, he won't." He said, "I'm Torrey Peterson. I don't know the bird myself." Now, there's lots of things out there that are so close you might look and you say, "Hey, is that hummingbird a ruby-throated or that other kind that's so close like it?" Well, you've got to look, but there's a way to know its characteristic. Now, at the end time, the two spirits are so close, there's a way to know. And I'll tell you, one of them won't stay with the Word. Because the prophet is meant to bring the Word. And Brother Branham said of you, you have a revival of healing. Comes out of the denomination and preaches the same old stuff. He said, that was no genuine healing revival. Right. What was it? It was Mark 16. I'm not against that. But brother, sister, we're dealing something which is different. That's why I say, look, if people credit get so angry at me because I say he came down, I believe he did come down. Amen. I believe he's here.
Amen.
I got no doubt he set himself the head of the church in order to raise the dead and put the church in order. That's 1 Corinthians 15. That's not just 1 Corinthians 12 and 13 to 14. That's just part of it. That's a mechanical part. What if you get your gifts all in order and everybody speaks just right and holds your mouth just right and that's according to Scripture and that's just right? What if you're not in order when every man is in his place according to the Word of God? The hand's a hand, the foot, the corpuscles here and that other corpuscles just right.
Amen.
Everything in subjection. And that's the word the crucible comes from, the shout. Everybody a part of the message who knows it. Amen to every word. Full of the Holy Ghost and faith. Getting ready for the last step of love permeating everybody. Going to get out of here. Well, somebody's getting out of here. Might as well be you.
Amen.
Well, what are we sitting here for? You think you're preaching something down there that's perverted and full of angleworms? Not angleworms, but what's that little mealy bugs that Brother Brandon said? In their manner? Oh, brother, sister, we got fresh loaf tonight. The atonement's in full view. All right, let's understand these things. Now he said, bow your heads. Heavenly Father, we're just men and women sitting here tonight, but we are, as it were, handling God. What does the Roman Catholic think of that? Le bon Dieu. Oh, Father Chinnicky, great, oh, what a scholar, what a tremendous man of God. One of the greatest books ever written. 50 years called it 50 Years in Hell. 50 years in the Church of Rome. But they thought that was hell. Wait till they get to hell. Wait till hell comes. Hell's moved upon earth right now. She's getting ready for the great showdown. You bet your life. You wait and see. I'll tell you what. He walked in one day and this poor old priest was just crying. Oh, Le Bon Dieu. Le Bon Dieu, that's the good, you know, the good father. Or Le Bon Dieu, yeah. What is it? Le Bon Dieu, the good, yeah, that's it, yeah. And the good God, that's it, the good God. What's the matter, father? He said, I forgot last night. I left the bon Dieu out here on the sacrificial altar, and the mice came and ate it. Oh, the bon Dieu, the poor little bon Dieu. But the mice ate God. It's like Puss in Boots. But you know what? There's a moral to it. The Protestants aren't nearly as reverent as the Catholics are. There's something deeper than just coming and taking and going on your way. So we did it. You did what? Did you do? There's a spiritual significance. God didn't ask us to do something that wasn't in line with Him. Why? So I'm going to drink it anew when we come to the kingdom. Now, it's not the body of God. It's not the blood of God. We know they're symbols. But to us, we look at reality. And we're just as reverent as though it was. What if it really were? By transubstantiation. What prayer of any man could do it? Come on. No. Handling God when we said, but we are, as it were, handling God when we handle the Word. And Father, I'd be afraid to try to say something that wasn't in here. I'd be afraid to try to put my own interpretation on it because I might be wrong. And you said, who will put one word to it or add one word to it? Take one word out. His power of taking out of the book of life. What good would my life be then, Lord, if I did an evil thing like that? So I just speak it the way it is. And Father, you promised that you would identify it. In other words, if he said it just the way it was, God would come behind and identify it. I believe you're risen from the dead 2,000 years ago. You're alive tonight, calling a simple people, just as you always did. And you're here, one here, one there, no groups, no organization, no great manners of what men have done. But you said you would take a people out of the Gentiles. Now watch, two in a field, I'll leave one, take one, two in a bed, I'll leave one, take one. Now that's the 17th of Luke. a people here and a people there for your name's sake, the bride. That's the rapture. The 24th of Matthew is taking them out of the church. Luke 17 is taking them out of the world. When that spirit that's in our midst becomes incarnate to us, we're crowned King and King and Lord of Lords. In the meantime, God, Holy Ghost, Jesus Christ, descends, sets himself head of the church in order to raise the dead. Now, the dead aren't the church. Because Paul is speaking of the fact of the time when the living are here and won't die. Talking about you and me. Set the church in order. Through the Word of God. We all become believers. One faith, one word, one Lord, one this, one baptism, which is the Holy Ghost, one everything. All one body we. One in faith and charity. Right down the line. I believe that your character identifies you. Someone say, well, Brother Brown, that's pretty weak. That's pretty weak soup. That's something like the soup of the, or the broth of a shadow of a chicken that starved to death. No, no, it's a real juicy one. That's your curve. That's your stumbling block. Too simple. Why, a little old prostitute can figure it out. Some dumb goof fisherman. Well, I thought, I'd want to tell you something. He takes the beggar off the dunghill. He smells like manure. Jesus smelled like manure. William Brown is skinned skunk. He smelled like a skunk. But I don't think anything smells worse than fish. Oh, brother. That's what we're looking at here. See? All right. I believe your character identifies you. As it was in the days of Sodom, so it'll be in the day when you're being revealed the Word. The Word itself of this hour is supposed to reveal the Word itself. Like the Word came to the prophet. Now let's go over that one again. I believe that your character identifies you. In other words, something's going on that proves that he's there. That's that it's really you, whether you're there or not. Let's put that to one side. You promised as it was in the days of Sodom. So it'll be in the day when you were being revealed the Word. Now, right there you'll notice he's going right absolutely to the seals. He's going right to the first chapter of Ephesians. The Spirit of wisdom comes into the church, the revelation. When that which was to be known of God had not yet been known, the apostle, I might know him and the power of his resurrection, he did not know it. He had the potential. This is where the knowledge has an influence on you, takes over. I showed you in the Greek back there in Quincy.
Praise God.
See? Now, so it'll be in the day when you were being revealed the Word. The Word itself of this hour is supposed to reveal the Word itself like the Word came to the prophets. In other words, the Word of this hour will reveal itself to us, but it's got to come by a prophet. Then the seals have to be opened by a prophet. The thunders have to come by a prophet. The last thing that God said before the shaking down comes by a prophet. We've had a prophet there at William Branham.
Amen.
I don't care what anybody says. If they're not his prophet, he's my prophet. I have no problem saying, oh, Lord God of William Branham.
Amen.
If I get wondering about myself, if I'm on the right track, I say, praying to the right God, I say, oh, God of William Branham.
Amen.
You say that? Sure, I say it. Amen. What grounds? Elisha struck you out. He said, let the Lord God of Elijah come into view.
Hallelujah.
When you see somebody that great, why are you looking around all pipsqueak score? I'll take that back. Why are you looking at something not so great? Yeah, I never have been too fussy about diamonds. I know they're nice. I prefer rubies and emeralds. I guess they've got more color. But diamonds have the facets where you get all the rainbow comes out of them. Maybe I'm just a peon. Well, that's all right. I can't afford any of them. If I bought them, my wife wouldn't wear them anyway. She's not much for that anyway. All right. Like the Word come to the prophets. And Father, we see John standing here on earth. And there was the Word that he was revealing. And the Bible said the Word always comes to the prophet. And the Word was flesh then, so it walked right into the water to John. The Word came to the prophet. Father God, come tonight, I pray, and help us. Help our unbelief. Forgive us our shortcomings. Heal the sick and afflicted. One word from you, Lord, will mean more than anything any man could say. Just you speak, Father. Just one word will mean so much. How's he going to do it? Hebrews 1:1, God and the prophets.
Amen.
Now you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. What did you do back there? You'll do it again now. When Jesus came, he was a prophet. God had to be in him. All of God was in him. Now, is it strange that the measure of God should be in a prophet, or all of God being a prophet if God wants it? What would be strange about it? I don't understand people's thinking. I'll tell you, it is pride.
Right.
And it's a false humility. Oh, they say, well, now, of course, now, don't, I'm nothing, you know, but neither is that man. Oh, is that a fact? How does many people have heart attacks when they smarted off?
Right.
How come he walked away from Billy Paul when he said he's going to get him off and pretend he had a beetle wig? And his dad walked away and he said, no, son, you didn't hurt me. He said, I was afraid what would happen to you.
Yeah.
Brother, sister, don't think that man couldn't look a hole in you and know exactly where you stood. I've had it happen to me. You know in a hurry. That's God, not a man. That God, they say God should love a sinner such as I. And he all smiles and chuckles. But God should inhabit a man and make him a prophet. Ooh, horrors. I'm not quite that ridiculous, you see. I understand people.
Amen.
Where's God ever changed? Why shouldn't he use a prophet? What made Balaam's donkey speak one time? Either was ventriloquism or God really made his mouth. I suppose God just made the donkey talk. What's the difference? Bring it right down where it is. Simple. See? You speak, Father. Just one word will mean so much. You're the same as they did in prayer. We commit ourselves to you now. And we pray that when we leave and go to our home tonight, we'll say like those two from Emmaus, when they saw him do something to identify himself to them, that he was the risen Lord. No matter how much they say, they stole his body away. And they did this, that, or the other thing they did. They knew themselves that he was raised from the dead. Won't you tonight show yourself alive to us again and call those in this fair city round about that's ordained to life to you? We ask it in Jesus' name, amen. How God does he keep on saying that you died and you rose again? How can God die? You know what it was? It was all those attributes. They were in the form of human flesh.
Yeah.
God did it. Remember the Spirit was released? There went the attributes, there stayed the body. Simple. It was incarnation.
Amen.
God always incarnated himself. Started back in the garden when he made Adam, breathed the Holy Ghost in him. Still incarnates himself in portion. And a prophet is different. Now, if I spoke the truth and told these things that are supposed to be, and here it is in the Bible, that this is the hour, you might have been taught in another school, something else, so were the Pharisees. But the Bible said, in that day a virgin shall conceive. She did. He said the characteristic of the Messiah would be thus. It was. They didn't believe it. That didn't stop him from going right on just the same. Same as it is now. We're living in the last hour of the last day. Science says 3 minutes to midnight. I think it's later than that. Most any time. Communism has ruined the country. The preachers are gone after communism instead of Christ. It just looked like going out trying to condemn that. Why not see the hour we're living in? Communism. My, I ain't afraid of communism. It's the coming of the Lord that's going to catch you unprepared. Is what it is to the church. Now, let all America turn to God and watch what happens to communism. You have to find the disease, then get the cure. Everybody be reverent, please. Don't move around. Now, many out there do not have prayer cards. You want God to heal you, just raise your hand and say, I'm believing. Now, no matter where you're at. Now, one word from God will mean more than I can say. Now, I was looking at from here. It's hard to see the lights in your face. Kind of hard to see out there and see the people. I don't know. Can't see one person, actually. I can see that I know. How many of you are strange to me? Raise your hand. Know that I don't know nothing about you. I guess it's everywhere. How many in the prayer meeting, the prayer line, knows I know nothing about them? Raise your hands. All along the prayer line there. If you hear me, raise your hands. Fine. If I'm a stranger. Everyone. Now, what is he? He's the high priest that can be touched by the feeling of our infirmities. Hebrews 13:8, see? Then he was touched down there. The woman that touched his garment, she might not have had a prayer card either. Notice the parallel ministries. Talking about himself. There it is. There's the two of them right there. You ever thought such things that would happen? Look at that, man. Look at that picture.
Hallelujah.
That is a fantastic thing right there. Now, if you wanted to go all whole hog and you wanted to worship, apart from God, real worship, you just go ahead and worship then. Now, don't do it. But if you're superstitious and you want to be, you know, back in idolatry with the paganism, which it would be, type of Catholicism, where it came from. I'm going to tell you something. Brother Branham had appeared to the Catholic Church and the Mormon Church, which he's named in the Mormon Church, the Book of Prophecy. If he'd ever gone to the Catholic Church, which his forebears were, and he came and did those things, I'm going to tell you something, Brother Steve. He'd have been sainted right now, and he could have been a pope. But he couldn't have been because he's God's man.
Amen.
I'm just telling you what potentials lie. Because I'm going to tell you, one day Lucifer sat up there with Michael and led in the worship of God. Look where he went. Look where a lot of people go. That thing called pride. The Bible says Satan, by reason of pride, fell. What was that pride? He simply wanted to do on his own and get better than what God would do, which you cannot get better than what God does.
Amen.
I mean, let's face it. Now, what is he? The high priest that can be touched by the feeling of infirmities. That woman that touched his garments, she might not have had a prayer card either. But she touched him, and when she did, something happened. Now, you touch the same way touch him. How many knows Hebrews 4, chapter 4, the high priest that can be touched by the feeling of our infirmities? How many know that? Well, would he display his same characteristics if he's the same yesterday, today, and forever? What would he do? Why, he'd search around and find her and say, hey, you got what you wanted.
Amen.
Well, did he do it in these meetings? Now, you know, I'm going to tell you something. Back in 57, I brought Brother Branham to Lima. With no use going to Spencerville because it was too small. And when I said Lima, that touched the right chord. And God gave us the Allen County Memorial Hall, all brand new decorated because the fire had got to it. The day it was completely done, that's the day we moved in. The meetings were fantastic. And usually in the meeting, Brother Branham picked them up by the scores. He'd pick them up, and nothing would happen. As far as I know, there wasn't one person who was picked out that didn't get perfect healing. One night, the gift of healing went through the prayer line, 50 miracles in 50 minutes. And people came afterward, many, and testified to being healed, not even looking for it. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. If you believe it, if you'll pay a price of prayer. I can tell you something right now, you might not believe it. But if this church wants to get down to business, start praying. Get yourself a prayer chain. Get up like you did back home at 5 o'clock in the morning. One man says, I go to work, I'll start mine at 5 o'clock. And we went at nights and prayed every single night for about 6 solid weeks. And that was the last time, I believe, the gift of healing went into operation. You pray until you become deadly serious. You don't pray for gifts and things. I'm not saying that. You're not praying healing. You're praying, oh God! There's a time of drought. We saw what revival could be. But there's a fruit on the road. You want to be part of that fruit. You see what God will do for you. It's up to you. It's up to me. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Don't you think he isn't, brother, sister? I hit that platform every night, and I believe before God not to be facetious or stupid and crazy, which I certainly am. If I'd have said when Brother Brown sneezes, he'd all be healed, they would have believed it. There was a meeting, all right. What did it really do? I don't know. I don't have to know. I know it turned Bob Brown around.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. Turned others around. But the people there today, I don't believe knew one thing about it when Jesus was passing that way. What did they know today? Thank God they know plenty. But the hour of his visitation when the prophet stood there. They saw that prayer line, 50 miracles. That's a lot of miracles. Not one missed. Not one in the audience missed. The people went home not knowing, and I myself did not know who he was, except he was a prophet. But it couldn't stay that way. It wasn't meant to. Because the Bible said, when let there be light, there's going to be light. If all hell is black and hanging around you, brother, sister, light will still come through because he went to hell. And he took his light and life with him. And he brought them out. And they're up there now in glorified form somewhere. They could be passing through this room because the glorified form goes faster than light. Think on those things. When you think he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Yes, sir. Now he says, here. Now can you hear me? A vision. Now remember, I'm no Messiah. I'm no Christ. But he is here. Messiah Christ is here. That's what I'm trying to get you to see. He's here. He's keeping his word. What word is he keeping? Not keeping his word that you can be born again. That's been kept for 7 solid ages. He's keeping the word of the hour.
Amen.
The revealing of the Son of Man.
Amen.
The appearing, which is different from the coming. He's proving himself the spirit of wisdom and revelation amongst us. So the power of the resurrection can go on the scene. So the rapture can take place. You're going through eternity, which is the first chapter of Ephesians. He's appearing. Now this woman is sick. I don't know. I don't know her. She's older than I am, probably miles apart. This is the first time to meet. Now, it's just like the woman in St. John 4. I'm trying to make it so clear you can't help from seeing it. Then at the judgment bar, there's no blood in my hands at that day. What about that day? Prophet like unto Moses? Duplicated now at the end time? Coming to the Gentiles? All that won't hear his word, utterly destroyed. It's not the word, brother, sister, that's used at the time of Jesus Christ. It's the time of the word. It's the word used in Malachi, utterly destroyed. Yeah, he comes with Elijah. When he comes down to investigate, back in the days of Abraham, he came by himself to Abraham. Now he comes to the church. Just the same as Jesus came with John. It's really the same thing. Now, Jesus promised in the last days the same thing would take place again. Now that's going to make him say, when did Jesus promise that? Matthew 4, Matthew 12, or two chapters. Matthew 12 is a better one in my books. Brother Branham just had to place it, that's all. We teach it. When he comes, he won't raise his voice in the street. He won't be heard. He won't fuss or fight. Back there, he kicked over the money changer's table, raised his voice in the street, caused a brawl in the battle. Well, they said, that's just the Holy Spirit coming in people's lives, making it nice and nice and nice. Oh, no, it's not at all. No way true, no way at all, because the Holy Spirit of truth himself, leading into all truth, and remember, all is all, there ain't no more. Seven seals, seven thunders. As we go through the week, you'll find out it's a promise. But see, only a prophet could bring it. Now, I don't know the lady. This is a man and woman meeting for the first time. Now, if the Lord Jesus will reveal to me what you're doing here, or somebody else, or what you've done, what's wrong with you, or what you've done, his finances, domestic, whatever it is, it'll have to come from some supernatural power, because I don't know you. How many will witness to that, that it has to come through supernatural power? See, the characteristics of God are supernatural. Now, if you play like the Pharisees, say, if you can play like the Pharisees, it's an evil spirit, which many do, that's between God, you and God then. You have your reward. And if you say it's God, then you have his reward. Now, that's better, see. What about it? You say, do I get a reward for recognizing God? Do I get a reward for saying that's God when people say that isn't God? Well, if you don't believe it, then you don't believe the prophet. Why would you sit here tonight and listen to me talk about it? Because I just elaborate on what he said and try to, not that I can punch it down harder, but perhaps open some lines of thinking that are in here that you might be interested in. Now, just look at me a minute. Jesus said, as Peter and John passed through the gate, beautiful, they said, look on me. I don't know you. Now, if the Holy Spirit is somebody beside me, will come and reveal what's in your heart, then the Bible said, the Word of God, sharpened two-edged sword, discern the thoughts, intents of the heart. That's exactly what the Bible says. Now, that of the heart. That's exactly what the Bible says, right? Now, that reveals the secret of the heart. Now, that would be the characteristic of God, the Word made manifest in this day. How many believe that? What was that? It was back there, then it's now. Was Sarah? You say, well, just a minute. Now, that's just one isolated case. Well, there's one isolated case when God said, let there be light. Well, we got a watered down God, I suppose. He lost his punch somewhere. His veracity. His ability to make it stick.
Hallelujah.
Brother Branham rightly said, the world is full of people that are insane. Now, I preached it, I told you, but is it true? That's the next thing, see. Now, if it's true, every one of you, if it's true, she'll know it. Certainly she'll know it. You'll know it too. But if it isn't true, then I've witnessed the wrong Christ. If it is true, each one of you should give your hearts to him, should believe with all your heart, reach up and accept him for what you have need of. That's true. Then I read what I would read now, what I read a while ago to fill in before. Now, do you believe, after he goes through that first case I read, he said, now do you believe? Do you believe with all your heart? Jesus Christ identifying himself in his resurrection. You see what I mean? Now, anybody that's got normal mind knows that no human being can do that. Now, you out there, you say to God like this, I know the man knows, doesn't know me, so I'm going to pray for something. Lord, can I touch your garment? If it is you, then identify yourself in your resurrection. Turn Brother Branham, and let me touch you. So the Lord turns, deals through Brother Branham, and that person gets touched. Then you speak through Brother Branham to me. That would be the Son of Man ministry. See what happens. Just try it. How do you do, sir? Would you come this way just a little closer so the people back can see? And he says, everything is in the spirit now and it makes a throb. Do you believe me to be a servant? Do you believe that Christ would reveal to me what you're here for? Remember, we're going to meet in the judgment bar someday and give an account for this night. Are you aware of that? Your trouble, one of them is your back. You have many troubles. You have a back trouble. Your eyes are going. You have eye trouble. If that's right, raise your hand. Also, you're doing something you want to get away from. Is it all right for me to say it? You want to quit smoking. Another thing, you had to feel that this thing has hindered you from receiving the Holy Ghost. Now, you want to receive the Holy Ghost, that's a desire in your heart. That's right. Wave your hand like this. Well, if it's left you, go receive the Holy Ghost. Be healed in Jesus' name. You believe? Be reverent, please. It's getting late. How many ever saw that light, that pillar of light, that fire? Taken Texas right here, first time, second time. It's hanging by the woman, see, in the dimension, in this dimension now. I wish you could just see. You could just see it. When you start moving, that does it, see? Tomorrow night, we'll make your prayer line shorter. Do you believe? And then he goes on, and he finishes in two pages, which you could perhaps read for yourself. And then he ends by saying here, to the person who is very sick, if he doesn't heal, you'll die. You're shattered, but Jesus, Christ makes you well. Do you believe it? All right. Go ahead, believe now, and you'll get well. Come, lady. You believe God will heal the TB and diabetes, make you well? All right, go. Believe with all your heart. Praying. Are you praying for one another? Lay your hands on one another. Let's pray all together. Everybody lay your hands on one another. It's getting late. Put your hands on one another and let's pray. Lord Jesus, we are sure that God identifies himself among his people. Now that prayer could not be prayed at any other time. His characteristics as the same yesterday, today, and forever manifest themselves, O Lord God. You who made the promise of the word, you said these signs shall follow them that believe. Now that's perfectly legitimate. That's the 16th of the book of Mark. Now this is where you have a straight healing service. Before was discernment. Took a message. Three powerful signs brought a message. This is just what's been going on for ages. These signs follow them, believe that they have sick, they shall recover. These people have confessed to be believers. The believers in the resurrected Christ, who is identifying himself now by his same characteristics that he was when he was here on earth, making the scripture positive truth that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lord Jesus, with these believers, with their hands on each other, in the divine presence of the resurrected, identified Son of God, who is made flesh among us again tonight in the flesh of his believers. That's your baptism, but the prophet's different. No baptism gets you that. Yeah. You got to have the baptism, of course, to be, but that's not for the body. That's for one man. In his believers, I command every unclean spirit, every sickness and disease to depart out of these people as they believe, as believers have their hands on one another. In the name of Jesus Christ, may it be so. All that will believe your healing now, that believe that right now, in the identified presence of the resurrected Son of God, that you believe that you have your request given to you, will identify the same thing. Stand to your feet and say, I accept with all my heart. Stand up, everybody, please, in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ that will believe him. Praise him. Give him praise and glory. Just raise your hands and give him thanks. God will confirm every promise he's made. Well, it takes a little longer sometime than usual, but let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we have had the privilege again being together, going over a message that your great servant, Brother Branham, gave. And we know, Lord, that in himself he was not great. Although people will look at him and say, that is a great man, truly, on the grounds of his character and his submission and his desires and all that he has done. And we would say, amen, that is true. Because as David said, as you said to David, I've given you a name amongst the great men. So there are great men. We know that you recognize them. They're in the 11th chapter of Hebrews. And we believe that Brother Branham was truly a great man. But the greatness, Lord, was the great God who did it, who gave the grace that whereby anything he did would be done, Lord, through your strength. And you've given us all the same grace if we'd only take it and the strength. Help us, Lord, tonight to be that way. Cut down all our pride, O God. Cut down all our ambition, our skepticism, our judgmental spirits, our attitudes, anything we have, Lord, so that whatever you say, we'd be only too glad to do. We could say with the prophet, I always do what I want to do. I want to do his will. Lord, may we not just quote his words, but may we follow in his footsteps, because his footsteps fell into your footsteps. We know you walked and talked with him, and he walked in the light. And we saw that life which was manifested. And it is certainly a pleasurable thing to be associated with. And Lord, we would pray somehow that you would help us all, that we might be the same people, just like he. So we will have pleasurable associations that we have never had before, growing deeper and deeper in Christ until it becomes a brotherly, Christly love, a true brother love. As Jesus said, who's my mother and my brothers and my sisters? They're the believers. And Lord, we can have that familial love, which will be an agape love, because it's a family of God. Set our love upon nothing higher than God himself. And because God so loved the world, he gave his own order. He loved, gave himself for it. And we love you. We love that order and the people of the order. So let it be, O Lord. So let it be. So let it be amongst us that people will finally say, notice how they love each other. Let everything else pass from us, O God. Count nothing of our own, but count it others. And use the things of this world in a manner that's glorifying you, even knowing that with the use of it perishes, laying up treasures in heaven. And help us, Lord, to stop talking and get on with the doing. Because that is the great thing. That is the great thing, Lord, and that's the thing we need to do. Catch up on all these little things. The Brother Brown has said men will start and do great things every time, but they let the little things go. No doubt we're just as guilty as any man on the face of the earth, Lord. So help us over our problems, over our debits, over our sins, and now come to the place of the Holy Ghost shed abroad in our hearts, that great love smile upon us, and we smile in turn upon each other until it becomes one great cyclotron of reflection, and all reflects Christ in His glory. We're caught up with those who are caught out of the ground to meet our Lord in the air at a wedding supper at that thousand-mile table that Brother Cecil King so often talked about or sang about. Now unto Thee we give the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord bless you. Now tomorrow morning, Brother Brian with us, 10 o'clock. You have a good service, I'm sure. And I thank you for your prayers. If anything is doing anything, it's got to be prayer. And I don't mean that if in the sense nothing's being done. I still have problems once here, but Lord, just be kind to me and give me increasing each day now. I won't be knowing what I knew a while ago that was so miserable. But I believe it's going to be prayer to do it. I covet your prayers. I appreciate them intensely, immensely. And I just trust the Lord will bless us all together. Open His Word to us, because that's the purpose of the whole thing. Open our characters, open our heart, open our minds, open us up to the light and the love of our Christ. That's what it's all about. There's got to be an Omega, brother, sister, to the Alpha that was there at one time. There's got to be a church that's spot and wrinkle. There's got to be a church that knows Him as they once knew Him. We have everything in potential. It's just a matter of manifestation. I believe that. It's got to be. There's no two ways about it. I still say it, Brother Brown, if we're not bride, there's a bride out there somewhere. There's got to be. And I want to be a part of it. You want to be a part of it. By the grace of God, we're not going to stand this way. No way. Amen. The Lord bless you. Ready now for the services to continue with the communion service and foot washing. Let's see. I want to watch this. You don't get this. Yeah, I want to watch that cord. Whatever problem. Okay, you want to we put your table back a bit there then? That's fine. All right. So the deacons come forward then, please, and serve so we can proceed. Lloyd, would you just ask the Lord to bless the ambulance, please?
Our Father, we're thankful, Lord, for everything. We pray now Thy blessings, Lord, upon this ambulance.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, that Your word be manifested. Lord, let us just give honor and glory to Thee.
Yes.
We just give You praise now. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Now you know how to come forward from my right here and through. And before you do, though, with Chris, are you here in the back there somewhere? Sorry, come in. You come up here first, and Dave, if you don't mind, you're gonna pray the according to you want. It doesn't much matter. If you do, the two of you come forward, and the rest just fall in line so that Chris can start playing the piano for us in case we should sing. And I think it's nice to sing some of these glorious songs. So, last and did my Savior die? Sovereign died in my Savior, whatever, which one. That's going to be number 96, Chris. And the rest of you then would just please come along and then take your seats for a second afterward. We're going to start page 96. Alas, and did my Savior die, and did my Savior bleed, did my Savior die, would He devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? All right.